I know what I will do, that they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The unjust steward is the very model of the modern man, secular, pretty much of an atheist. God does not figure into his calculations, and analytical above all. He thinks things through, figures out what's best to do so as to assure himself a soft landing. He's got the facts and figures. He knows human nature. And he simply does the math. And even his master, whom he's just cheated, has to admire his cunning. He calls it wisdom. He thought it through, the steward did. And you? The things we wonder about but don't pursue, just never get around to working them through with thought, and if you believe in God, with prayer. He who controls the narrative gets to tell the story his way and rules the day and maybe sets himself up for a long tomorrow. It's a shame if we're too busy or too timorous or just too tired to do more than react or unthinkingly accept the modern truths they give us. Now, we might wonder, we just don't work on it too long, that's all. Last Sunday, we considered the why of suffering. At the last two Masses, I remembered that story I told years ago. It's a fine little tale about a fly who's buzzing around the tourist crowds on some Monday morning in the Vatican, and he sees, under the hot Roman sun, all of these people lined up to wait for an hour or two to get in and see one painting. And he's wondering what it is, so being a fly, he buzzes to the head of the queue and, without a ticket, gets himself a view. It's the Sistine Madonna. But he lands, by chance, on a darkened pigment of the painting, shadow, and all he sees with his bug eyes is dark paint. And he wonders to himself, what are all these people lined up to look at? That's the point. It's difficult to see the whole picture, even if you're not a fly, which is not to say there is not an answer, but it does explain why things can seem so dark at times. Today's parable often puzzles people. Our Lord is not praising the steward's dishonesty, no. Just saying, as they say today, just saying, our Lord, is that you should use as much energy, as much imagination, as much boldness even, to save your soul as worldly people do to save themselves. Make friends to yourselves of the mammon of iniquity. Use your money. Don't sit on it. Don't spend it too much on yourself. Be generous with the church and the poor. For these alms prepare you an everlasting dwelling when you shall fail. What should we be thinking about this Sunday? Well, something everlasting, not ephemeral. Those unending conflicts which occupy the wise at the moment, the wise of this world, set up by the powerful for their own purposes, but something precious, the price paid, already paid, for our peace. St. Peter says, knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, unspotted and undefiled. Now, we read this little scripture from 1 Peter in the Divine Office most afternoons if there's no feast day. So much as if to say, the precious blood, Christ's passion, ponder it always. Not just in Lent, but in life. Not just for a season, but especially at the sacrifice of the Mass on Sunday. Our catechism, the creed, we profess passus est, he suffered. He suffered. This shows us, as nothing else could, two things. The value of our souls, of a single soul. Cops and civilians and conspirators and soldiers and snipers and hapless motorists and poor innocent Mohammedans who just got hit by a drone coming back from a wedding. And the crowd, most of all, the mindless, maddened crowd, which has lost its mind because it has forgotten its maker and therefore its purpose. All of them purchased at such a price by Christ. And it shows us, secondly, the extraordinary love of God for us. Look at them. Look at you. That he would do that for us. But also, it is meant to demonstrate and remind the value of the price paid in suffering. Do we estimate it at its worth? But first, catechism. How could this work? He suffered. Who? Jesus Christ. And who is he? He is God. How could God suffer and die? By the incarnation. For Jesus Christ has a true human soul. And thus he could and did experience the most acute pain, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And thus we sing in one of those lovely responsories of Tenebrae, Holy Week, Tristis est anima mea, usque ad mortem. My soul is sorrowful, even unto death. He felt the bitterness of his passion, all of it. Even though his human nature was united to his divine person, he felt it so acutely and sharply as though that were not so. In one person, Jesus Christ, his divine person, were preserved the properties of both natures, the nature of a man and the nature of a God. And that's how he was able to suffer and die, even though in his divine nature, he is, the theologians say, impassible as well as immortal. We talked about the Armenians last week. Remember how Bergoglio said, well, they're all part of the mystical body. Ironic that the Armenians, most of whom follow their national church, and all of whom who have suffered so much in the past century, that they should deny, of all doctrines, our Lord's human nature, which alone makes possible his suffering. And thus are they cut off from the church, as are all heretics. You know and believe in the power of Christ's passion, and thus in the value of suffering. This price has been paid for you by the Lamb, but its change is jingling around in your own pocket. And there's also a bill with your name on it, waiting somewhere amongst your papers to be paid. We are like children whose parents give them 50 cents to light a candle after Mass if they're well behaved. And then they guide their little hand through the little ceremony. It's a lovely sight. Have you ever seen it? Don't be in a rush to go after Mass. There are things to see still. The candle we light itself does much good, though the price is not from us. Poor worldlings, today at every rally and march they light candles without ever knowing the meaning of that gesture. They got it from us. No one's asked. No wonder that they riot and they panic and they curse and kill and steal and drink and drug, and afterwards, St. Paul says, they rise up to play. All of this just to forget for a time and escape the evil they cannot avoid but could never accept. An unbearable burden, a fearful riddle for them. There's no explanation. But for the Christian, it is not so. Not if he has a crucifix before his eyes or a cross to trace over his own flesh. This is our Catholic catechism of pain. Our Savior has expiated all of our sins. They call them choices today. Curious term. Our Savior has paid for the misdeeds of a sinful world. Take up your cross, the Savior said. We too must suffer. We suffer, remember, for our own sins. We suffer for the sins of others. And then there's that third reason for suffering. It's in St. John's Gospel, the Gospel of the Man Born Blind. And they say to the Savior, Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And our Lord answers, no one has sinned, but that the glory of God might be made manifest. Suffering thus acquires a meaning and a purpose. No Christian is a plaything of blind fate or of circumstance. The final answer for us isn't a fly on the wall or the why incessantly worked out in our mind. It's found in the crucifix on the wall, and in you, consecrated at your christening to be other Christs, bearing in your body or soul or mind the marks of the Savior, by the marks of his precious skin, goes an old gospel hymn. And I can take up the burden now, the burden of a life which just before left me faint with work, with weakness, at the thought of all of the work to be done. When words cannot console, the silent, crucified Christ stretches out an arm to embrace. How much dost thou owe, my Lord? He practically has canceled your debt, and then he gives you the change with which to cover the rest. And how much is it? 0.01%. Pain will always trouble us. Its wearying ways will wear away at our peace. And sufferings will always cry out for an answer as for relief. But I know what I will do. I'll think it through. I'll do the math. The price is mine. I possess it. Such pain, such peace. Like mammon, I must take it and give it away back to God for an everlasting dwelling. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.